privilege to have Brother Vineyard this year. I'm glad he's back with us. I want to ask you to do this, watch this here. If you graduated from OBC, would you stand up, please? If you graduated from OBC, would you stand up? Now, you look around, Rich Montgomery over here, and then one, two, three, four other husbands and wife couples. Plus, we got Joseph Maxwell, who graduated from there. Rachel, who will walk this May and receive her diploma. Crystal, who will walk this May and receive her diploma. The school has been good to young people. Amen. And I appreciate the influence of Brother Vineyard. Now, not only in our lives when he comes to preach, but directly now through Caleb and Emily, who are here, through Ben and Ashley, who are directly related to our church, of course, and Rich. And Brother Vineyard, thank you for the years of shouldering the burden, not only of the church, but of the college. And we feel good about it being in Brother Tom's hands. And continuing on, thank you for coming. As many times as you've come to our church, we want you to come back again. And thank you for being our friend. God bless you. Brother Westbrook and his family are going to sing. We're going to enjoy that. Been good to have them here on their way to Australia. And when they're through singing, you give your undivided attention to Brother Jim Vineyard, who will come and bring the closing message. All right?
Again, I appreciate the opportunity. Your pastor is one of the most kind, gracious preachers whom I have the privilege of knowing, and he always, you missionaries, he always takes very good care of the people that come here. I know the name now, Faith Baptist Church. You are here Monday night, I couldn't think of the name of it, okay? Let me ask you if you'd be interested in helping us with something. We're purchasing Bibles, English Hebrew Bibles, English on one side of the page, Hebrew on the other, in the Hebrew format to put into the hands of Israeli soldier. God has opened a marvelous door for us to the Israeli military. Now, when I went over there last summer during the war, I did not go to do anything with the military. Had not intended to do a thing with him. But as we were driving from Nahariya to Kiryat Shmona up there just below Lebanon, we came upon a Paladin artillery battery. Six of those mechanized 155 Paladins that you saw on television, if you watched in the news during the war, because that's where most of the news services would go to make their broadcast. Well, sitting there, my driver scared my driver to death. He almost wrecked the car, so we had to stop. But we were sitting right about 200 yards in the middle of those guns as they shot over us, and all of the shock waves was really hitting the car. As I sat there, now they shot a 10-round mission. They shot the first round all together, and then they shot the other 54 rounds at random. But as I sat there listening to those artillery shells go over, and my mind went back to when I was in Laos, And I was always hungry when I was in Laos. I'm hungry right now, but I'm not in Laos. But anyway, I decided I'd feed those soldiers, so I had the driver turn around, and I went back in there and talked to the Israeli executive officer of that battery. They had 78 soldiers, and he at first said that it was against regulations. He couldn't; they wouldn't allow me to do that. And so I told him, I said, "You guys are Israelis; you can do anything." And then he said, "No, it's forbidden." And so I got up in his face and gave him one of my dirty looks, and I said, "Sir, don't make me have to get mean. What would your soldiers like to eat?" And he comes right by me, just right back immediately. "How about pizza?" We're in the middle of a war. Katusha rockets are coming in, and artillery shells are going out. It's as noisy as could be. And the guy says, "What about pizza?" And I mean, I scratched my head. Where are we going to get pizza? And then he told me he could see the look of wonderment upon my face, and he said, "Well, you don't understand. When war breaks out over here, everybody leaves except the kiosk owners." Now, a kiosk is like a little 7-Eleven store, only much smaller, and the pizza parlor owner. And he said, "Which way did you come from?" And I said, "From the west." He said, "If you'll go back about 3 kilometers on the north side, there's a little town there that has a pizza parlor, and that's where you can get them." And so I asked him what time he wanted them delivered. He said at 11:30. That's 8 o'clock in the morning. And I went back there. Fortunately, he didn't have to wait. The pizza shop owner was in there, although the door was unlocked. I beat on the door. He come to the door. And I talked to him for a minute through the door, and then he opened the door, and he talked to me. I asked him, I said, "What do you get for a large pizza?" He told me. I said, "For 5. He told me, "For 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 38. 76 is old soldier. And so I paid for 38 pizzas and had that guy deliver them at 11:30 that morning. And then I fed 2 other units pizza that day and gave a fourth unit, gave them $750 so that they could go to town and buy meat that their cooks could barbecue, and they could have a barbecue. This was the first hot meal that those Israeli soldiers has had. This was August the 3rd. This was the first hot meal they'd had since July the 12th. Well, as I went across there, all of those Israelis began to talk, and the word got up through the chain of command to Major General Udi Adam. His rank and his status would be like the commanding officer in Iraq or the commanding officer in Afghanistan for the American forces. He sent a lieutenant to get me because he wanted to meet me. And so all of that has opened up tremendous doors to the soldiers in Israel. Brian Sharp got to preach yesterday to almost 50 naval soldiers because of what we have been doing over there. Now, we're buying these Bibles. We pay $30 a Bible for the Hebrew Bibles. And so I have some DVDs that I'd like to make available to you if you'd like to help us and purchase a Bible. The first DVD is my trip from being over during the war last year. And on that DVD, you'll hear the cannons shooting out and Katushas coming in. The second DVD is of the Agos Special Forces last obstacle test for a young soldier by the name of Liran Sahadia. And it shows what they did in carrying 77 kilo packs. That's 169.4 pounds for 77 kilos, 3 kilos shy of 50 miles. Now, that's something to see. The third DVD is of a Yet a Name of Israel meeting we had in a Renaissance Hotel. And that'll be a blessing because you'll get to hear Dr. Paul Blair. How many of you are a Bear fan? Lift your hand and see. Chicago Bears, you're a fan of the Bears. Paul Blair played for the Chicago Bears for 3 years. Then he hurt his knee, and then because of his knee, they put him on some kind of waiver. And Minnesota picked him up and played for Minnesota for 2 years. So he played 5 years in professional football. But he was with the Bears all back there during a little bit after the time or during the time of their world championship team. Then here, this one here is of me following the Gavadi Special Forces in a live fire practice assault. And I'm walking behind them, and they're shooting totally, fully automatic weapons. And that happened in early December, 4 months or 4 weeks after I'd had this surgery. This one here is of a group of 9 young ladies and Brother Price and 2 of our young men that spent 9 nights and 9 days in 3 different Israeli IDF units, preparing the food, cooking the food, feeding the soldiers. There's a lot. That's about a 4-hour video. There's a lot of stuff on there. Bless your soul and your heart. Then, now, if you're in favor of, if you're against the Second Amendment, you won't like this one here. How many of you for the Second Amendment? Hold your hand up. Let me see. Okay, if you're for the Second Amendment, you'll like it. This is of our last boot camp out at our camp, and it shows on there some of the young people that I trained how to make a fire and a maneuver assault upon several objectives, and you'll get to hear fully automatic weapons chattering, and then semi-automatic weapons chattering, and you get to watch these young people do that. Yeah, kids especially like that last one. Now, somebody's going to be watching those for me. If you'd like to help us, these will be a blessing to you, and for a gift of $30, you could put a Hebrew English Bible in the hand of an Israeli soldier. Now listen to me. How many of you think the Lord's coming? Hold your hand up. Let me see. Okay. I think I showed the crowd the other night in Revelation the 144,000 that are going to be saved in that great multitude. I don't know how many Israeli soldiers we're going to lead to the Lord before the rapture. I have no idea. But, see, when the rapture takes place and we're gone, then those Israeli soldiers are going to be sent. That old bald-headed guy, crazy fellow that was over here during our war, he really had something. And they'll be taking my letters off the hard drives and reading what I have written to the president. I wrote the president a letter a while ago for in the morning. Wrote the president a letter today about the nation of Israel. But those Jews will be reading that stuff, and they'll be taking out those Bibles and reading those Bibles. And I believe we'll see some of them saved during the tribulation period. Good investment for you. Amen? All right. Exodus chapter 3. We were there the other night. We're going back there. We're just going to look at 2 verses tonight in Exodus chapter 3. And then we're coming to the New Testament to see something over there and try to allow the Lord to let us be a blessing to you here this Wednesday evening. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read verse number 13 and verse number 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now notice that and underline that phrase there. I am hath sent me unto you. I am hath sent me unto you. I am hath sent me unto you. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the I am of mission. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless us, touch us, anoint us, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Come here and meet with us. May we bring what every man, woman, and young person in this building tonight needs to hear. Anoint us, touch us, bless us, be with us. Bless these dear missionaries that are here. Help them, Lord. Help this church to increase their faith promise to take all these missionaries on. Help these missionaries to be able to raise their support post-haste. And be able to get on and get to the field. Bless each one of them. Thank you for the testimony we heard tonight and the story we watched out of India. And I pray that you'll bless Radix and his wife and those two precious little girls immensely as they go there for him to take the gospel to those countrymen he's related to. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Now, turn, if you would, in your Bible to the book of John, chapter number 6. The book of John, chapter number 6. I said to you, I'm speaking to you tonight on the I Am of mission. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Look what the scripture says there. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Go to John chapter 8, if you would, in verse number 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. You sang the song a while ago. One of the congregational songs you sang was about send the light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But Dave and his wife and those five precious children are going to have the opportunity to go to Australia and push darkness back. That's what light does. It pushes the darkness back. Go to John chapter 10 and verse number 9. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. Radix mentioned those Christian people, supposedly Christian people, in India. Brother Angel talked about the Catholics, Lutherans, and so on and so forth, all those groups that he talked about. Jesus said in John 10:9, look at it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find the pasture. What's wrong with most of those religions operating under the guise of Christendom? They haven't found the door. Amen. Go to John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, if I had a mule and I rode him here, I'd let you hold him for a while, and I'd go out in this very cold weather and run a little bit and shout because the good shepherd gave his life for me. Amen. Amen. Go to John 11, 25 and 26. John 11, 25 and 26. It says there, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I believe that. It's so. He is the resurrection and the life. Go to John chapter 14 and verse number 6. John 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, Moses said to he who was in the bush, what shall I tell them that your name is? When he asked me, who sent me? And he who was in the bush says, I am that I am. And on that, Moses leaned all of the burdens of his cares, his fears, his pains, his difficulties, his anxieties. By this, Moses was able to scatter kings as dust. And dear friend, in 2007, the support is still the same. It's ever mighty. It's ever near. And you and I can lean on the support of God Almighty to do what we ought to do behind these missionaries as they take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. I am has sent me unto you. He's from India. William Carey went to India in 1793. Now, William Carey was brighter than your average Baptist. He was smarter than probably any Baptist I've ever known. I Now, Jerry Falwell probably has the highest IQ of any Baptist that I've ever known. Jerry Falwell is very smart. He's not in the same path today as he was in when I worked for him. But Jerry Falwell is a smart, smart individual. William Carey translated just about almost 300 whole Bibles in other languages in addition to the King James. William Carey translated 7 of those 300 Bibles by himself. Why did he do that? Because he realized I Am has sent me unto the people of India. He translated 7 of the whole Bibles that are in existence in the world. His compatriots, those that went with him and labored in India, they translated 15 other whole Bibles. And so William Carey and his compatriots have translated 22 of the almost 300 only Bibles, that was almost 300 that we have in other languages today. There's almost 550 New Testaments, counting the 300 that I mentioned of the whole Bible. But they did that because I Am has sent them unto the Indian people. Amen. Okay, go to John 6:35. The I Am of mission. The first point is, I Am the bread of life. I Am the bread of life. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I Am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread of life in missions does 4 things for sinners on the mission field. They'll do 4 things for the people in India. They'll do 4 things for the people in Madagascar. They'll do 4 things for the people where our son Paul labors in Davao City in southern Philippines. What do they do for sinners on the mission field? Bread of life. What does it do? First of all, it nourishes them. It nourishes them. They can't find nourishment, though, if we don't send or take the bread of life. Amen. Second thing it does, it sustains life for them. It sustains life for them. The bread of life does that. The third thing it does, it energizes them. It energizes them. Radix, you can tell by talking to him that he has been energized, you see. And he's energized in order that he might take the bread of life back to his countrymen in India. And the fellow that's going to Bahamas. Is that right? There's somebody here going to Bahamas. He gave me his card. I have it in my room. He's going back to where he has citizenship. And he'll be able to do things there. And Radix will be able to do things in India that an American missionary would not be able to do. I Am that I Am. It is the angel of the everlasting covenant who is the I Am. It is the great Redeemer. And he would establish his people on the firm rock of his comfort. Therefore, with trumpet tongue in the word of God, the I Am assures them that all his majesty, that all his supremacy, that all the glory of absolute and essential deity and his inherent right is there for us to lean on so that we can take the bread of life to somebody in some other country. And we miss that. The limits of our mind cannot scan this. The arms of our heart do not embrace this. Words are only skeletons before that truth. Our intellect, when we try to grasp it, our intellect wants to fly away on eagle's wings. But you see, this is the truth that the child of God in February 2007 should grasp: the I Am the bread of life. The I Am of missions. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 12. Second thing that I want to tell you. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. It says there, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The second thing, I am the light of the world. Now, the promise Jesus made there was twofold. His promise was, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, Christian friend, listen to me. Somebody lives in another country and don't have all the distractions that we have here in America. They're ready to get out of darkness. They're ready to get out of darkness. So the first promise is, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. The second promise is, he that follows me shall have the light of life. The light of life. Christianity would be worth it if there was no hell to miss, no heaven to gain. Christianity would be worth it because you can lay down at night with a clear conscience and go to sleep if your sins are all fessed up with the Lord. Now, if you had a fuss with your wife and you spoke uncharitably to your wife, you're going to have to confess that and get it right. Or if you fussed with your husband and you spoke uncharitably to your husband, you're going to have to fess that up and get it right before you'll have this conscience that you need to have as a Christian. I am glad he is the light of the world. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1, verse 14 and 15. He said, I am has sent me unto you. That's the first sound that you and I ought to look for in our Christian experience. Our Savior knows no past. He knows no future. He lives unmoved in one unmoving present. Our Savior stretches throughout all the ages which are gone, and should there be any ages to come, he's going to stretch throughout that. I do know there's 1,007 years yet to come. I know that for sure. I just don't know how many is above the 1,007. His only bounds are immeasurable boundlessness. Before time was born, he is, I am, that I am. When time shall have expired, he still will be, I am, that I am. If there had been the moment when his being dawned, his name would be, I am what I was not. If there could be a moment when his being must have an end, his name would be, I am what I shall not be. But listen to me tonight. He still is, I am that I am. Thus he treads first and last everything beneath his feet. He sits on the unbroken circumference of existence as he who ever was and ever is and ever shall be. And you and I just need to throw everything out of our minds and grasp those facts about he who said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In 1975, I was on the staff at the First Baptist Church in Hammond. Terry had not come there to go to Bible colleges yet. A preacher came from Adelaide, Australia. They're going to Australia. And a preacher came from Adelaide, Australia to pastor school. I knew he was coming because he had written and invited me to come to Adelaide and preach a revival at Easter. And a medical doctor in Texas paid for my wife and I to go. But my wife chickened out because the boys were little, and she just wouldn't go. So I had to take Judson Mitchell with me. What a substitute for the bride of my youth. But they're going to Australia. I just got to tell you the story. When they're singing, I thought of the story. Judson and I flew to Australia. We landed there on Thursday before Good Friday. Good Friday before Easter on Sunday. Now, Catholicism had Adelaide locked up, and so everything was in a mess because of the Catholic holy day. And so they took me to a motel, and they told me that the motel's not open, but they have you room, and our people will bring you food in the morning for breakfast, and we'll take care of you for lunch and supper. And so I didn't have anything to do that Thursday night, and Friday we were going to start services. The preacher told me, he said, what time would you like to have breakfast? And I said, what would be an agreeable time to whoever's going to bring it tomorrow morning? He said, Brother Vineyard, they'll bring it at whatever time that you want it. So I said, well, about 6:30. He said, that'll be fine. And so the next morning, I got up and read my Bible and got things around. And I opened my door and I was sitting in there. About 6:20, I heard a car pull up in, right outside my room. And I went to the door, and there's this Baptist couple from that church there in Adelaide. And, oh, I would say they were probably about 40. They were both sort of rotund and healthy people. And so they got out of the car, and I met them. I don't remember their names. If I'd have known that he was going to sing, they were going to sing tonight, and I was going to tell a story, I'd have looked up their name, but I don't remember their names right now. I can't, you know, it might have been Faith. But anyway, I went out and met him and met her, and she was very chatty in an Australian dialect, English, but it's a distinct sound to it. And so we go to the back of the car, and he raises the trunk of the car. I looked down there, and I thought, good night. They got enough food there to feed 200 people. So they started carrying food in. They had a dozen biscuits. Big biscuits. And not those kind of biscuits, ladies, you get out of a cardboard sleeve. You just left that sucker on the counter either. They had a bowl of gravy that must have had 3/4 of a gallon of gravy in the bowl. They had 1 dozen eggs sunny side up on a great big platter. 1 dozen of them. They had 1 dozen lamb chops. They had probably 4 or 5 pounds of fried potatoes. They had 2 or 3 pounds of crisp bacon. They had everything under the sun. They had a bunch of grapes. They had a bunch of oranges. They had passion fruit. They had nectarines. They had all kinds of things. And they brought that in. Now, I made a dent in it. I didn't get rid of it all, but I did eat all the eggs. One, you eat 1 dozen eggs. Yeah, I could eat 1 dozen eggs right now, raw. Yeah, I can do this. I can still do this. I can take an egg and break it on my head, open my mouth and drop it in, swallow it. I can do 12 of them that way. But I had a good time there preaching from that Friday night. That was on Friday morning. From that Friday night to the next Wednesday, and 34 Australian people were brought with the members of that church to church and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because He's the light of the world. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 9. The third thing, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Think about this. I am that I am is the door. I am Jesus is the only door that opens to salvation. The scripture declares, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. I am Jesus is the only door that leads to peace and security. I love to tell the Jews when I talk to Jews, listen to me, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. I'm either right or you're right. But let me tell you this. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I think you're the one that has a problem. I am Jesus is the only door that leads to satisfaction. Psalm 107, verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. If you and I, now I'm going to Israel tomorrow, the Lord willing. I have to leave the motel at 4:10 in the morning. Do you need a wake-up call? But if you could go with me and we could go to Bethlehem, we can't go to Bethlehem because our idiot governments in the past have turned Bethlehem over to the Palestinians. Only way we can go in there is in an armored vehicle. But if we could go to Bethlehem and fix our eyes on Bethlehem's manger and go back all those years, we could have seen a lowly babe lying in a lowly cradle of a lowly town, the offspring of a lowly maid. But when you look again, that little lowly babe laying there in the manger is the eternal I Am. He whose deity never had birth was born the woman's seed. He whom no infinitudes can hold is contained within an infant's age and an infant's form. He who never began to be as God here, there, in Bethlehem's manger, began to be as man. He's the great I Am, that I Am who shrunk into our flesh, was little on the earth, as one newborn yesterday. It is so because the Lord promised it, prophets foretold it, types prefigured it, an angel announced it, heaven rings with the rapture of it, faith sees it, and you and I who are redeemed ought to be rejoicing in it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. God has given me the privilege of pastoring the Windsor Hill Baptist Church for 30 years. In the last 7 years, Windsor Hill Baptist Church has given $5 million to the cause of worldwide mission. In the last 14 years, Windsor Hill Baptist Church gave $10 million to worldwide mission. In the 30 years that I've had the privilege of pastoring the church, Windsor Hill Baptist Church gave almost $16 million to worldwide mission. Why do we do that? Because he's the door. He's the door. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 11. John chapter 10 and verse 11, we see the fourth thing in John 10 and 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The fourth thing is, he said, I am the good shepherd. Why did eternity's Lord become a child of time? He stooped down so that he could save poor, wretched sinners such as you and I are. Could he not have done that by his will or by his word? He could have done it any way that he wanted to. But God says that in order for the penalty to be paid, man must die. And so the God, the I Am the Good Shepherd, gave his life as a lowly man that lost souls like you and I don't have to fear death. Now I have a heart problem. I'm going to have surgery. Lord willing, when I come home from Israel, I may not make it to Israel. I may not make it while I'm over in Israel. I may not make it back from Israel. I may not make it through heart surgery. Now, you'd think of me talking like that, that I'm a pessimist. I'm not. I'm very optimistic. But I'm going to die with my boots on. Amen. I'm going to die doing something if I die at this time. But thank God, if I don't know it, if I don't make it, I know the Good Shepherd. I've put my hand in a good shepherd's hand, and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's with me. His rod and his staff comforts me. I am that I am alone could do that. I am that I am alone was the one that did it. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I, as Christian people, are under the mandate of the Almighty for taking the gospel story, the message of salvation, the story of the one who said, I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep, to people all over the world. That's our obligation. That's our duty. Tom first went to the country of Zaire. I went with him, Liz, on a survey trip over there. And both of them came down with malaria. They were dog sick. Boy, I mean, they were sick. My goodness, were they sick. And that happened at a place called up on the Congo River. And Mangai. Happened at a place called Mangai. And the church there, the Baptist church that was established by Anton Anderson, was going to have me preach. And they had a little building that was about the size of those pews back there and these pews here, just about that size. That's about as big as the building was. Now, we're going to have a service that evening at 6 o'clock, just at dark. People started coming. The word, see, Anton Anderson had been a missionary there in that area. He had done a great work for the cause of Christ. He died in 1956. And so this was 1988 or 89, I'm not sure which year, 88 or 89, one, we were over there. So Anton Anderson had been dead for over 30 years, but there were still Christian people there. It was the fruit of his work. And so I was the first white preacher to come to that town since he had died. And now, that little building, I was standing outside that building with a preacher. Tom and Melissa, they were sitting over by the toilet that they had built for us. They had built us a brand new toilet. If you could see some of the toilets over there, you'd want a new one also. Tom and Melissa were sitting by the toilet with their heads hanging out. Each one of them had a roll of toilet paper on their lap. They were sick. Vomiting and diarrhea, vomiting and diarrhea. I'm standing out there, and every little bit I look, check on them, make sure they're okay. And the people started coming. People started coming. They filled up that little building. They flooded around the building. Finally, we had to go outside. The only place we could go was over close to the river. Big river. Over 3/4 of a mile wide there. I crossed that river that night in one of those little bitty boats, and went hippopotamus hunting. Me and Anton Anderson's nephew, Al, we went hippopotamus hunting at night. We take big flashlights to guns. I had a 458, and he had something like that. And we stood where these hippopotamus come out at night. And we started. Now, okay, we had 1,200 people come for the service. I'm getting ahead of myself with the hippopotamus hunt. I know there's a bunch of hunters here, and you're like a hunting story, so I get after that too quick. But let's go back to the church, sir. We had 1,200 people come. We went over by the river, and I preached there, stand by the river. I have never in my life. Now, folks, I have been where there's some mosquitoes. I have been where there. I've been in Laos. I've been in Vietnam. I've been in Cambodia. There's mosquitoes over. I've been in Burma. There's mosquitoes there. Where he's going in Thailand, there's mosquitoes there. So I've been where there's been some mosquitoes. But I don't think I've ever been in Alaska. In Alaska, boy, there's a lot of mosquitoes in Alaska. And but I don't believe I've ever been anywhere where there were more mosquitoes than there were out that night. After a while, if something like that's bothering me, I just leave it alone. Don't forget about it. I don't pay attention to it, and I just go on. Well, I had to preach. I'm sucking mosquitoes in my nose. I'm sucking mosquitoes down my throat. Every little bit, I had to take my glasses and do them like that to get the mosquitoes off my glasses so I could see to read my Bible in the lamplight that they had for me there. 1,200 black faces, eyes and teeth like Radix. I mean, they had those white teeth. that contrast her showing up. And I'm preaching to those folks. And swallowing mosquitoes. I bet I swallowed 10,000 mosquitoes that night, conservatively. And I was burping mosquitoes. That's awful burp. It's almost as bad as that oil of oregano. But anyway, I was burping that stuff, and I preached, and we had a host of people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That evening, Al and I was over on the bank on the other side, standing there, and the mosquitoes was eating us up. It's midnight. Midnight. I said to him, Al, you ever eaten a skunk? He says, what? I said, you heard me. Have you ever eaten a skunk? How many people here have ever eaten a skunk? You'll understand why I'm laughing here. He says, what are you talking about? I said, what are you eating a skunk? Is he eating a skunk? Hey, oh, yeah, a skunk eater back there. Oh, that made my day. Praise the Lord. Joyce, come on, Joyce, grin a little bit. But I said, Al, you ever eaten a skunk? And he said, goodness gracious, no. Why? And I said, why? It ain't worth it. So I said, it ain't worth it. And we got in our little boat and went back across that great big wide river. But I was glad that I got to go there and tell those people, those black people, about the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Amen? Go, if you would, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. He said there, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, I believe it. I believe it. You don't even have to ask me if I believe. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it because our Savior is the resurrection and the life. My mother died 9 years ago. Because our Savior is the resurrection and life, I'll see my mother again. I had 9 big brothers. All of them except one are dead. All of them trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior after I got saved. I'll see those 8 brothers again. My brother Charlie, who's 2 years older than I, he's still alive. I'll see Charlie again because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And you know, you and I, we ought to look steadily on Jesus. We are like Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to keep our eyes on him. Let our walk be straight and our stand tall. Because that's the way Christians are going to have to stand in the days you got facing. Ladies and gentlemen, most of you here tonight don't realize how much of a predicament America is putting itself in day by day. If we don't do something, different in Iraq than we're doing, we're going to have a real problem for my children and grandchildren and your children and grandchildren. Now you say, what's your suggestion? Well, in Iran, they have about 35 nuclear sites. In Iran, they have about 36 of those Shihab 3 and Shihab 4 missile sites. First thing I would do if I was running the war is I would allow Israel to come and with our Tomahawk missiles and our F-18s and F-15s and F-16s and whatever else we got, the B-1 bomber or B-2 bomber, whatever it is, I would take out all those nuclear sites and all those missile sites whereby they'll be able to send missiles to Israel or to where our forces are. That's the very first order of business if I was running the war. Amen? I'd let them know every time an IED explodes against one of our vehicles, We're going to drop a daisy cutter on one of your population centers. A daisy cutter is a 15,000-pound bomb or a 25,000-pound bomb. Makes an explosion. It looks like an atomic bomb. And, you know, we wouldn't have to drum but five or six of those, and it'd stop killing American soldiers. They get the idea. Hey, old Brother Vineyard, he's the president of the United States of America. He means business. We can't handle that stuff sort of like that. Amen? But if we don't, ladies and gentlemen, the throat slitters are going to be at our throats. We're going to be up to our eyeballs and Muslims in a very short time. Amen? And you'll be calling to your relatives wherever they go to make sure they got safely to where they're going. I'm not pulling your leg, but you and I have the opportunity to tell about the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. You and I have the opportunity to tell about the resurrection and life. One last verse, go there if you would, John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And as the great I am, he is as constant as he is great. As surely as he ever lived, so surely he ever lives the same. He is an infinity of never varying oneness. He sits on a calm throne of eternal serenity. Change is the defect of things here on our earth because things here are all defective. All these worldly things that you people look after, you young people, those video games, put those suckers in the trash. You parents, listen to me, parents. You ought to supervise what your boys were doing. I was in California the other day, and a preacher asked me, says, how did your wife supervise your boy? I told him, I said, she didn't trust them with nothing. My boys would say to her, you don't trust me. And she'd say, absolutely, I don't trust you. And they'd say, why? And Mom would say, you're a sinner. You can't trust sinners. Hello? But she looked older. By the way, they're all three still married to the same wives. And that's a real blessing. I know all kinds of preachers. I know all kinds of preachers who have grown kids, married, divorced. It's a blessing to have had a wife, the bride of my youth, as I have had, whom I never had to whip the boy. Let me say that again, women. Some of you kind of look puzzled at me about that. Let me say it again so you get it and understand it. If I had a coloring book, I'd draw you a picture. It's a blessing to me to have a wife that I never had to whip one of my boys. Amen? Well, listen to me. It's a blessing to see two of those boys being used of the Lord to tell people about the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. He's the only way to heaven. No other way to go to heaven. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, what you are. There's only one way to go to heaven. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right now, at this time, I have the privilege to be taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Hebrew people. Brian Sharp, Cecil Ballard, Ed Bragg, where he got saved. They're over there right now. They leave coming home tomorrow, and I leave, Lord willing, tomorrow to go over there. We'll cross in flight. I have a lieutenant colonel and his wife and his daughter and his two twins coming to see me Friday night. I have a major and his wife's a medical doctor. Coming to see me Friday night. I have a civilian and his wife, Ozzy and Lizette, the first colonel. His name is I.L., his wife's name, Anat. The major's name is Guy, his wife's name, Daniela. And then the civilian, his name is Ozzy, his wife's name's Lizette. I have given all three of those couples already Hebrew Bible. Now, Colonel Rosen, when he had his twins, when his wife gave birth to those twin boys, they're nine, one of the twins was tiny, tiny, tiny. Colonel Rosen had bigger hands than mine, but he said that boy was about that long. They had to keep him on a ventilator, I think for 7 months. And he didn't know what to do. His wife didn't know what to do. But he said, somebody told him, there's a passage of scripture in the Bible that you ought to read. And he says, Pastor, I'm sorry. I don't know where it is, but it goes something like this. Yea, though I walk. I said, wait a minute. And I turned to Psalms 23. Now, Itamar knows everything. He's the Jew that got saved and we baptized in September. Itamar, he knows everything. As soon as I.L. told me what it said, Itamar said, oh, that's in Proverbs. I just shook my head at him and grinned. And then turned to Psalm 23 and read that passage of Scripture to the Friday night. Friday night. Because Itamar knows the shelf at the Renaissance Hotel. See, it's the Shabbat or Sabbath. And they are very expensive on Friday nights for meal. But because Itamar knows the shelf at the Renaissance Hotel, I'm not going to have to pay for all of those people. 4 and 5 is 9, 2 is 11. I'm not going to have to pay 11 times $36 for those people to come and eat with me on Friday night because Itamar knows the chef. And the chef said, but a vineyard's guest can come free. Now, for a Jew to use the word free is a miracle. I want you, now I'm being serious. Being serious, I want you to pray that other miracles will take place Friday night. And as I show those people some passages out of this old black book here, I'll use mine. But as I show them some passages on Friday, I want you to pray that Ozzy and Lizette, I.L. and Anant, and Guy and Daniela will be saved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The I am of mission. The I am of mission. How many here tonight say, Brother Benny, while you preach, God spoke to my heart. He dealt with me about something in my life. While you preach tonight, I have a need. Pray for me about it. Slip your hand up. Let me see it if that's your prayer. Hold it up big and high. I have a need. Pray for me. God dealt with me about something tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many here are members of Faith Baptist Church? You say, but I mean, I need to know what God wants me to do in increasing my faith promise this year over last year. I don't need to do something foolhardily. I need the leadership and direction of the Almighty God about what I should do in my faith promise. Pray for me about that. Slip your hand up and let me see if that's your prayer. Now, you got your hand up. When I give the invitation here in a moment, you ought to come to this altar. Get on your knees at this altar and pray about that faith promise and what you're to do with it. Let me ask this question. Is there a young man or young lady here tonight who would say, Brother Vineyard, while this mission conference has been going on, God has been dealing with me. He's been convicting me about my life. And tonight I want to give my life to Him to take the gospel of the great I Am somewhere around the world. Brother Vineyard, pray for me about that. Slip your hand up and let me see if that's your prayer, young person. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, you young people, you need to come and talk to Brother Angel about that. and make sure that he prays with you about what you ought to do with your life in the cause of missions. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness here. Thank you for allowing us to be with Brother Terry and his dear people once again. We pray and thank you for their fellowship to us. They're taking care of us like we're somebody. Their blessings, Lord, upon us and these missionaries. We thank you for that. We pray that you'd bless them as they get ready to take their faith promise, and that the faith promise, Faith Baptist Church, will go up so that they can continue to do the business of the great I Am around the world. May every decision that should be made here tonight be made, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand quietly to your feet? While you do, the ladies will play. While they play, the altar's open. The invitation is yours. Would you come?